Blog Talk Radio.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. Damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
And welcome to Islam Exposed, heard right here on Blog Talk Radio. You are listening to myself. I'm Kel Fritzy. My fellow host is Dave Milner. And the other fellow host, of course, is Tim Burton. I would like to welcome everybody to the program. We have a very special show today. We have Jan Rennie and Dave Paxton of the Christian Defense League radio show joining us. And Jan is the Christian Defense League chapter leader within the English Defense League, so it's going to be a fantastic show. But I would like to say hello to the fellow host. And first of all, Tim, what are you doing here?
Well, what sort of way is that to greet your co-host? Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody, and I'm very glad to say that the show is being ably looked after by Kel and Dave in my absence, because, as you know, I've had a minor setback in the old health department, and I've been instructed not to speak on the radio for more than a few moments at a time. You know, so I'm sitting here with my feet up in my favourite comfortable armchair, wearing a pair of carpet slippers and sipping at a mug of cocoa. So good evening, everybody. Good to see you, and I'm glad for the opportunity to at least come in and say hello, even if I can't partake for the full 2 hours.
It's great to hear your voice. You sound marvelous. It sounds like you are well on the road to recovery. But yes, you will be limited to your airtime for the next little while. But hey, let's say hello to Dave. Hey, Dave, how you doing? And what are you doing here? No, I'm kidding.
Sometimes I wonder that myself, Kel. Yeah, I'm doing really great. I'm here at Anti-Jihad Hot Quarters in Burlington, Vermont. It's about to get even hotter, and I want to welcome Tim. You know, we'll try and keep the place hot for you until you return, nice and toasty, just the way you like it. Very glad to hear your voice, my friend, and I am ready to do the rock and do the roll.
Yes, I think I saw in the chat room the phrase "Let's kick this pig," which sums it up rather more succinctly, I think. So indeed, let's get pig kicking. Away you go, David.
That is, I have to explain that. That is a line from Down Periscope, which I just purchased recently. It's a comedy movie, and it is fantastic. I love it.
Oh, right, okay.
I love that movie. That's with Kelsey Grammer, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. And he takes a, just for Tim, since he's not familiar, he takes an old World War II, well, actually Korean War era diesel electric submarine and turns it into something that helps to win a naval exercise. And a lot of hijinks ensue and a lot of fun is had by all. So there you go. There's your cultural moment
hilarity
for this show.
Ensues.
Yes, it's good for you to take some time out of your busy day as a film critic, David, to come and chat on our humble show. No, I'm only kidding.
I give it two torpedoes up.
Yeah, I hadn't heard this of this particular
And here we
video,
go.
So I'm very glad you had the summary there. Yes. Okay, good. So what have we got tonight,
yeah, okay,
David?
Okay, good.
What have we
hey,
got tonight?
Hey, come
right,
on,
coming
Tim.
Up.
You can't top that, Tim? Come on.
I don't think I ought to, really. Maybe there'll be a chance later on. But, you know, one likes to keep one's powder dry until the appropriate time.
Well, I was going to say it's going to be a little bit more time before all of Tim's torpedo tubes are in good working orders, but you know.
Well, yes,
David.
Indeed. Yes, I don't think I'm not going to go down that road. I hope Mrs. Kim is not listening
because
I feel,
you just made her blush.
I feel there'll only be trouble if I go down that road, so I'm not going to, no matter how much I'm goaded. No.
It's great to have you here, Tim. It really is.
It is, Tim. It's great to hear your voice, and everybody is always happy to hear that you're doing well. You gave us quite a scare there, but you're doing quite well, and maybe we'll have you back... Oh, I don't know. Sometime in October. Oh God.
Well, I'm hoping it'll be sooner than that. To be honest, I do remember when I first came out of hospital. They said, "Right now, you listen here." They said, "This is the cardiac nurse speaking. Right, you got to sit down. You got to not strain yourself. You mustn't do any housekeeping. You know, you've got to give up the parachuting and the high diving. You know, you can't go down the gym and stuff like that." So, God, shoot me now, I was thinking, shoot me now. But it isn't really as bad as all that, and I'm hoping I'll be back in the saddle before too long. And, you know, things could have been worse, so I'm not complaining at all. So there we go.
Well,
I'd just like to say thanks,
you know,
for everybody.
For June's sake, I hope you do get back in the saddle, because she's probably going around going, oh, I got this cat underfoot. Get him out of here.
Yes. She's looking after me, so you know, we're all good here. So yeah, I'm hoping it's not going to be too long.
Great to hear.
I could be back on the shows.
I don't think it will be,
we
Jim, and we
our...
will welcome you back when you come.
Thank you very much.
You betcha. We have our guest joining us right now, and Tim, would you? We've got Jan Reddy, and we've got Dave Paxton. First of all, Jan, hi. How are you today?
Hi, Cal. Thanks for having me on the show along with Dave and CDL. I'm fine today. I'm actually multitasking here, and I'm down in Birmingham at my mother's. So yesterday, what I was
there
mad about
go.
Last night, I don't know whether you've heard about the Rotherham demo last night or through the night. About
yes,
1,400 girls and boys.
Is that the Rotherham demo last night? Is that the one that was in front of the police station?
Yes. Andrew went there yesterday morning. He's an EDL member, and he's also a number one diabetic, but he took his insulin along with him. Dave is more into this beginning of the story, because I was on the road coming down here yesterday. Had I known this guy was sitting on the police station in Rotherham, doing a, his intentions was, what do they do when they starve themselves? What
hunger
is it they
strike.
Call it?
Hunger
thank
strike.
You, David. I'm going to call you David today, because so I don't get mixed up with Dave Paxton.
Oh, yeah. That's right, we have two Daves on the show today, so I will just call Dave Milner Mr. David, because he's misbehaving already. Dave Paxton is also here right now, so let's say hello to Dave. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Hi, guys. Sorry, you know what? I got kind of mixed because, you know, we were dealing with two people, so I thought the show was on 6 tonight. So, you know, when I got with Jan, you know, I'm kind of at work, but I'm taking a lunch break, so... Because I'm like, okay, 6, your time. So it gets all confusing, you know how that works. But I just wanted to say hello to Dave and you, Kel, and make sure, you know, that Tim gets recovered quick so he can come back on the show.
Thank you very much, David. I have to say, Mr. Paxton, I mean, if you're having trouble with the time, what you need to do is to ask Kel for one of the watches that I've given her.
No.
Because...
No.
They're very good, these watches. They're guaranteed to give you fun and hilarity all day long. Isn't that right, Kel?
Well, you know, Jan and
you
I
know,
talk all the time. So I'm normally...
Tim sent me a wonky watch, and I returned it. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just saying that Jan and I talk all the time. We're used to UK times, but now we're dealing with the third show, so we're like... I just assumed it's 6. I didn't know. You know, I've seen your show before on archives, but you know, I'm usually at work, so I got to watch them on archives. And I just wanted to say, Dave, we Jan and I checked out your show. And,
oh, thank you.
Yeah, and it's very, very good. So we just listened to that about 2 days ago.
Oh well, and the next one is going to be a lot of fun. Kel has actually heard about half of it, and she'll tell you it's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome! We look forward to hearing from it. Make sure you post it so we can share along.
Will do.
Oh,
will do.
Absolutely. When the show goes to archive, I will. And as a matter of fact, Jeff and myself of EDL Radio, we're going to be speaking extensively about what happened in Rotherham. And I probably said that wrong. Rotherham, but
Rotherham.
Rotherham's fine.
There you go.
But what annoyed me, Cal, was I was on the way down from Scotland to Birmingham yesterday morning, and of course I've got no internet contact because you can't use your mobile on the road anyway.
Good.
So had I have known that this hunger strike was going on with Andrew, and a few other people started gathering, I would have come off the motorway and gone to Rotherham, because it's only 20 minutes across, out of the, to the left of the motorway and across to Rotherham, and I could have made excuses of all sorts before I got here. So I was equally angry last night that I couldn't be there because I'd already passed Rotherham and never knew a thing about it. However,
it was
Bossman Davey.
Yeah,
had
it was
on last
very,
night live,
very. Yeah, it was very quickly put together.
Out. Oh, it was brilliant. And people were turning up with tents and food and heating. They had barbecues, etc. But Dave will go into that because he went on to Davey's show last night. Kindly this morning, we were given an independent inquiry, CSE, in Rotherham, which someone managed to hold off. And it's the preface and the report is written by an Alexis J. OBE. And it was written on the 21st of August. I think this is how it all came to light. Although, going back 5 years, Cal, with the EDL, I went to my first demo there about 4 years ago at Rotherham about this grooming. Not one Muslim did I see, and I was there on my own. And actually, Dave, being in Texas, I was checking the internet on my mobile, and I saw Dave was up, so I rang him. And it was 10 o'clock in the morning. I was the first one in the pub, actually, waiting for the rest of the EDL. That's shocking, but, you know. We were at Rotherham Town Centre, and I never saw one Muslim. But I rang Dave in Texas, and I told him all about that. I'd met a girl in that pub. There was a lot of us that met that day for the first time.
Right.
And she stood there, and I said, do you want to go outside for a cigarette? She says, yeah. And she proceeded to tell me that in 1981... she had been gang-raped by Muslims. 1981, Cal. Now, this Rotherham report is going back 14 years only, 16 years only. This was 1981. She didn't have any counselling. She got over it in as much as she could do, went on to marry, had a failed marriage, went on to marry again, had another failed marriage. She had three children. In the end, because even with a little bit of counselling, there still was no help for her mentally, and she lost her children. She still has lost her children. She keeps going back to court, et cetera, et cetera. But I met that girl, and I was shocked that it went on in 1981. However, going back to Rotherham, not one Muslim did I see that day. It was a great demo by the EDL, but what really annoyed me yesterday,
they knew better,
before I left my house, was GMTV, and I'll give Eamon Holmes and his wife kudos for the way they covered it. We had one good man, and you might know, a little bit on the left side or trying to be a little bit on the right side woman who was saying, of course, it's only kind of a percentage of Pakistanis that are doing this, and the rest are not Pakistanis. And I wanted to scream no, because the rest are the converts, which was 13%. 13% have got to be converts. But,
oh,
you know,
yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Because our men, infidels, white men, black men, do not hunt in packs. If there's going to be a rapist, they do it on their own. They
exactly.
do it on their own. The FBI profilers will tell you it's a single man on his own doing these rapes.
Correct.
Which is very, very rare. But these are like pack,
or
I'm not going to call them pack animals, Cal. I'm going to call them pack Muslim scum, because that's what they are. It is a sign of power.
Oh yeah.
It's in the Quran.
It angers me that what happened is that this went on for so bloody long, and it was covered up because they were worried about cultural
sensitivity. You know, on the television yesterday morning, Cal, sorry to interrupt you there. On the television yesterday morning, they mentioned it was Rotherham. They had phone-ins afterwards, and I thought, I can't leave for Birmingham yet. I'm going to have to phone in. But they said I was too irate when I spoke to the person. They said I was irate. They wouldn't let me on the show. I mean, I wasn't going on the show just to be on the telephone. I was too irate because I said not one mention of the EDL has been mentioned. No one. And yet it was Tommy Robinson and Kev Carroll that brought it. It was the EDL that brought it to light about this grooming rape jihad. As Dave Paxson named it.
Exactly.
Now it costs everything. It is
exactly.
rape, jihad.
And that's what I say
and
to everybody.
Said, are you an EDL member? I said, I'm a member of anything that is against Islam. Oh, no, you know, it was like, put you on hold. And I thought, after 20 minutes, no, stop you. You just put me on hold to get rid of me. You seem to be a little irate, Jan. I said, irate, just put me on. I'll tell you how. I would have been censored, but, you know. But anyway, I came down to Birmingham last night, and I got here, and then I logged on, and I saw all this kerfuffle about this Sean Wright, who used to be in charge of child protection, who went on to be the police commissioner. And that's what the demo was about last night outside Rotherham on the police steps. I mean, what a great demo with all the barbecues and everything else.
Is that the chief superintendent? Is that Jason Harwin? This is another one. Who
Sean Wright is
the
top man of
down.
South Yorkshire. He's the top man of South Yorkshire. Now, last night he resigned from some Labour Party load of shite, excuse my language, but refused to resign as police commissioner. Now, this is my point, Cal, and then I'll pass you over to Dave Paxton, who can tell you more about what went on yesterday when I was offline for 7-8 hours. Well, what my opinion is about this Sean Wright and why he's not being forced to resign or sacked, if they fire Sean Wright, the police commissioner of South Yorkshire Police, then, you know, every chief constable or commissioner in Great Britain needs to be booted, because they are all guilty of what he's guilty of. 100%. Cover up, cover up, cover up. And he's refusing to resign, I believe, on them grounds, because he would just be opening up a can of worms for the whole of the police force across the UK. Now, briefly before I pass you to Dave, it's come to light today, breaking news. I'm reading from a story, actually. Former Rotherham police officer charged with causing a girl 15 to engage in sexual activity. I would say, in inverted commas, was he taking money for passing these girls to Muslims? South Yorkshire police officer Daniel Cookson, 27, who was previously based in Rotherham, has been charged with causing a 15-year-old girl to engage in sexual activity, his force said yesterday. It comes after a report revealed at least 1,400 girls were sexually exploited in the town between 1997 and 2008. He was arrested in November last year, was charged on August the 21st this year. How long does it take, Cal, from November to August before he's charged after he was arrested? You normally charge on the Monday morning of the first week.
Absolutely.
Am I right?
Absolutely.
But South Yorkshire Police released the information only today. The force said he was previously based in Rotherham. It said the charge relates to an alleged offence committed between March and November last year, and Cookson was suspended when he was arrested in November. By the way, police officers on suspension get full pay and privileges. It is understood that the allegation is not related in any way to wider issues of child abuse in Rotherham. Well, what a load of BS. Here we're still, after yesterday, we are still covering up for coppers. This needs to stop. You know, I'll pass you over to Dave Paxton now, who can fill us in more on what happened yesterday. But when he's finished, I'd like to come back to this independent inquiry, Cal.
Yeah, it would appear that we don't have Dave for very long because he's on his lunch break. So, Dave, please go right ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm an outsider, and I just see what people see on the Internet, and it was very impressive. Andrew, that I'm friends with, he posted one post early in the day, and he said, look, I'm going down with my flag. I'm going down by myself. You can join me or not join me. I'm still going down to the police station. And I'll be on a hunger strike. I didn't know he's a diabetic, so that's really even more dangerous. And then boss man Davey stepped up. He found the post, and he must have made 7 videos, if you saw him, Kel. I'm sure you did. Of, hey, let's get
I saw them
of,
all. Yep.
Let's get
yep. Good job on Davey's part. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that program last night was fabulous that he did. It was just. You know, normally he plays music, and then he calls it a rant show. But all he did was interview after interview of the people that are actually camping out of the police station, and it's like occupy the police station. So, and, you know, I know you heard the show, but some people have it in the U.S. Muslims were actually driving by and shooting the finger at him and laughing at him. The reports are that the child services was laughing at the window outside. You know, I guess they're all in the same building. And it makes you sick. You know, it makes you sick.
It does.
So, in other words, some of these same Muslims passing by were probably some of the same Muslims that have been raping these children forever. You know what I'm saying?
It's just that, sorry, hang on. I can't answer my Skype. Sorry, I'm on the air.
Was that live stream, Dan? Was that jingles like we had on Sunday night, Cal?
Yeah, that was me. I figured out.
Oh, God. Jen,
somebody
what happened to me on Tuesday was just as bad. But except of getting music, I was getting an operator. Every time I tried to bring on one of the panelists, I would click on, like, and of course, Jen and I can commiserate. Jen and Dave, they were getting jingle music of some sort, jingle music. But what happened to me on Tuesday, Jen and Dave, is that I was getting an operator saying, please stand by and leave your message at the sound of the tone.
It's an absolute nightmare.
But
you know what, kind of part of the show, you know, if you were a blind person and you tuned in, you'd know instantly with Blog Talk. You get jingles, you get hung up, your lights flash. I feel like my hands are tied right now because I can't see a dashboard. You know,
I feel different too. I'd like to put myself on blue, but I can't, so I can fart, you know.
Yeah. He does that. I always know, Cal, when he disappears because he goes on blue and I never know what he's up to. But, you know, a great turnout last night for the boys and girls. And, Dave, you can cover on this one if you would. We even had Andrew passing his phone around to speak to victims. There was one lady on who had a daughter born of rape from a Muslim.
Yes.
And that girl turned up yesterday, and someone came from a great distance where was it? Let me think. It was a great distance away. He took sleeping bags and they were bringing a generator in to charge the phones. There were whoever parties like that on the police steps. And where was the cops? Why didn't they say, oh, here's your Section 14 for disturbance, and, you know, we're going to arrest you for this? Not one word from the coppers.
Too embarrassed.
Does that not tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
No hassle from the police, no arrests, no threats, because they were all sitting in the station with their tail between their bloody legs, and rightfully so. They should all be fired, every last one of them. Anyway, this preface, I'll just quickly go through before I pass you back to Dave, because he's got more to say on that, from Alexis J. OBE. I'll post this link on your wall, Cal, if you want to use it for a future show.
I'd appreciate that, Jan. Thanks.
Yeah, there's a ream of information, but I'm just going to tell you what he says at the beginning. Alexis J. OBE. And this was written on the 21st of August. This independent inquiry was commissioned by Rotherham Metropolitan Borough Council in October 2013. Its remit, covering the periods of 1997, 2009 and 2009 to 2013, is appended. The inquiry applied the definition of child sexual exploitation, which is used in government guidance and is set out in Appendix 4, paragraph 48 of this report. Excuse me. The method included reading a wide range of minutes, reports and case files. We also interviewed over 100 people, either individually or in groups. I agreed with the chief executive that the cut-off point for file reading would be at the end of September 2013, and that any evidence available to me up until June 2014 would be included in this report. A confidential email and free post address were set up. A list of those interviewed is also appended. At the beginning of the inquiry, I agreed with the chief executive that I would refer to him without delay any instances of individual children where I considered that their circumstances needed urgent attention, or where there was immediate risk. Well, I would say all of them. But anyway, I also agreed to advise him of anything I encountered of a potentially criminal nature, which I would also refer to the police. I was assisted in the inquiry by Cathy Summers, independent consultant and associate of the Care Inspectorate in Scotland. Now, why Scotland when it's an English inquiry, you know? Probably because it's independent.
Interesting.
Specialist expert, I'm sure we've got independent people within England, you know? Anyway, specialist expertise was provided by Sheila Taylor and her team at the National Working Group Network on Child Sexual Exploitation, who also carried out cross-reading of a small number of files. Now, my point is here, Cal. When you have independent people and people who review these boards and read these statements, in my opinion, should not be of the left-wing factor, who we all know support Islam because of political correctness.
Absolutely.
So none of these people,
Paul Alexander just posted an article. Paul Alexander has been posting quite a few articles. The feed is moving fast because, wow, you two, you and Dave, you're so popular. But he did post one that I caught, and that's from the Telegraph, and that there are more than 10 politicians on a list being held by police investigating this pedophile ring. So this is huge. This is
going to
be a
huge
deal.
Yep, but someone rang... Some lady rang the GMTV program yesterday when they were highlighting this, and Eamon Holmes and his wife were shocked. You could see they were shocked that this had gone on. You know, I mean, I just can't understand why no one's heard about the EDL, but then you know what the media's like. They also mentioned little boys being anally raped. There was one woman who was trying to cover things up, and there was one man who openly said this is an Islamic problem. But then he was shut up about that, and he did refer to them as Pakistanis after that. But this will open up, hopefully. And a lady rang in, and her daughter had been sexually abused by 70 men at the time. I call them men loosely, by the way. And the lady's name was Donna. Her daughter is still mentally... you know, affected. She's tried to hold down jobs, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we don't know the scale of this unless it's happened to you personally, Cal. But
absolutely. I'm just wondering,
she wouldn't go into too much because she would. She says, if I go into this too much, I'll start crying. But you know, these girls and boys are not all in care. And if Dave, if I can bring Dave back on, he can tell you about.
Mm-hmm.
Certain people who responded, because I never posted any of this yesterday, but they did. Certain people who responded because the law didn't do anything, so they, if you like, took the law into their own hands. So I'll pass you over to Dave, if I could, on that score.
Dave.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering, first of all, how long do we have you for? Because you're on your lunch hour. Can we keep you for a while? Or?
Yeah, a little bit, maybe. Maybe 30 more minutes if we take a break.
Sounds great. Then I'm going to take full advantage of you and have you speak as much as possible before you have to leave. And as Jan was leading off, please pick up where Jan left off. And thanks, Dave.
Okay. I think what Jan was referring to, it's been in the report, and I've got a copy of the report, and some of it's public, some of it's not, so I always worry about what I get a copy of in my email, because it's happened before where I shouldn't have got a copy of something, but I did. But at least two fathers went over to the Packies' home, demanded their daughter, she's being raped, they demanded their daughter be let out of there, out of these hell holes, and the police, of course, the police responded right away, and they arrested both fathers. Of course, this is the way things work in the UK, I guess. Now, they're Sharia police; they're there to protect. If you ever look at a demo, is it's a Muslim demo, they'll be looking on the outside for trouble. If it's an EDL demo, they'll be looking the inside for trouble. So, but, getting back to what I was talking about a little earlier about Dave's great show, and Jeff called in last night and had a great conversation with Dave. And hopefully that's recorded. So I called in a little later and had a really nice conversation with Dave, and we were talking about the biggest problem that I see in the as an outsider is why aren't these people arrested? Okay, if you can go back in Jimmy Savile's career for the 80s and arrest all these cases, why are we letting Muslims run around? There's thousands and thousands of these cases. They won't pursue them. Strange, Kel.
It is because of the political correctness that has been holding us hostage for, too close 100 years now. In particular, the last couple of decades, with the influx of non-Indigenous people that move into our countries, they don't assimilate. They want to change things, and we accommodate. It's our downfall. It's our fault. We allowed this to happen because we are so politically correct. That is where the crux of it is. Now, I want to ask Tim what he thinks about that. And, Tim, you're only allowed to speak for 2 minutes, okay?
Well, there's no doubt that political correctness and multiculturalism are at the root of it. If we hadn't had political correctness and multiculturalism, then back when we first started allowing Muslims into this country, when it became apparent, which it must have done quite early on, that there was a problem with Islamic culture specifically, then it would have been stamped on by the local police, who would have quite easily have seen the pattern that was developing. I mean, say what you like about the police, they're not stupid. They understand a lot about how people react in certain situations, and when it comes to matters of crime, they're trained to look for patterns. So patterns involving Muslims in particular crimes like this must have been quite obvious to people on the front line right at the start. But of course, when you have a culture which says, well, you can't discriminate against Muslims no matter what the evidence might say, then it becomes very difficult for individual police officers to know what to do. They can refer it up to the senior police officers, but if the senior police officers are infected with political correctness and multiculturalism to the extent that they feel that even speaking out as a senior police officer might jeopardise their gold-plated pensions, then, yeah, you can quite easily get a situation where nothing much happens. And if you then take that entire scenario and project it onto council officers, council officials, social services departments, children's services departments, and the hierarchies that necessarily exist within all these groups, and you have the same political correctness and multiculturalism environment, which of course has been encouraged over the past 30 or 40 years, then this kind of thing that you get. And I think that Rotherham is only going to be the tip of the iceberg, to be quite honest. If it's happening to this extent in Rotherham, it will be happening to the same or perhaps even greater extent to other towns and cities where there are similar populations of Muslims. Because if there's one thing that we know through talking to each other on these shows and doing the research that we have, we know that the problems that Muslims generate are in direct proportion to their percentage in the population, which is to say, if you only have a very tiny fraction of 1% of the population, you don't really see the problems that you see when you get to be 5, 10, 15% of the population. And when you get towns and cities like Rotherham, I don't know, let's take a couple of other examples. Blackburn, Burnley, other big towns in the north of England, I feel sure that there's going to be exactly the same kind of patterns going on there, and that the children's services, the councils, council officials, the police forces should be investigated in exactly the same way that I hope is going to happen in Rotherham. I mean, the one great thing about Rotherham is that if it proves to be the starting point of a process whereby we start calling things what they are, referring to them in real terms rather than in fantasy terms, then I think that'll be a silver lining on a cloud. Okay, I think it's not the right metaphor, but the point is that terrible though it might be in Rotherham, I'm sure there are going to be other examples in other towns, and I think this will be, I hope it will be, the start of a process that exposes absolutely every police officer, every councillor, every children's services officer who's neglected to do what they should have done for the past 15, 20, 25, maybe even 30 years. So that's
if
my two cents on it.
There, Tim.
Yeah.
The problem of places like Rotherham, they were talking last night on David Bosman's show about voting, et cetera, and getting out there and voting and getting these people out. When the majority are Muslims and the councillors and MPs and the other three white people, indigenous people, are left-wing, what chance have they got?
Yeah, I feel sure that if it were just down to voting, there would still be a huge problem. But I think a problem of this nature requires much more than the democratic voting process at the moment. It requires nothing less than a public inquiry that is specifically looking for the people who were responsible for this happening over the past 20 or 30 years. And let's not forget that a lot of the people will have been moved on from Rotherham to take up similar positions in probably different councils within the local area, well, within a regional area. So even if they're no longer in power in Rotherham, they'll be somewhere else. And what I would sincerely hope for is something, a very robust public inquiry that goes after absolutely everybody at every level who was involved in this sordid tale and brings them to task. And, you know, I'm hoping we're talking long prison sentences for very many people.
Absolutely, and I couldn't agree more with that. And what I want to do, though, is that I want to bring in the other fellow host, and that's Mr. Dave Milner, who has something to say. And then, of course, after Mr. Dave makes his point, I want to pass the mic back to Dave Paxton because we don't have him for very long. So, David, go right ahead.
Thank you, Kel. Yeah, I see an opportunity here for politicians who are prepared to use this issue, and they should, to use this issue as a wedge to get elected if they're actually going to do something about trying to reverse some of this multiculturalism when it comes to Islam. Because, as Tim says, the police are being told now that they can't discriminate, but they should, because this is an ideology of hate. These sorts of activities are approved of in Islam. It is, as we all know, it is a complete problem with Islam. Just as it is a problem with the cartels down in the southern part of the United States, and just as that is true there. This is true in the UK. It is a problem with Islam. Their culture allows this to go on, and there should be some politicians in the UK that are prepared to run against the ones that have allowed this sort of thing to continue. We probably the ones who allowed it to start are already retired. They're probably unreachable at this stage, but we can at least try and get the politicians that are in charge now to answer the telephone and...
Yeah, please answer the telephone, somebody.
...out of the... to get out of the representation of the people of the United Kingdom. I think this is a good thing that certain politicians can do, and I will turn it back over to Dave now.
Okay, Dave. I'm glad somebody answered the phone. it must have been important, okay? So, anyway, I really have, you know, not a lot to say because I'm an outsider and I just look at a lot of things y'all do, so I'm not in the UK or anything.
Will you stop saying you're an outsider when you were officially made a member by Tommy Robinson and Carol?
They're not there anymore, but anyway.
I know, but still.
Anyway, the only thing I got to say, you know, and I've kind of made the point before, is that if the UK can go back and, you know, some of these cases are horrible, these politicians and movie stars, right? They're 14-year-old groupies or 13-year-old groupies that were hanging out, maybe passed around, and it's horrible, and they should be prosecuted. But why wouldn't they go back to 2004 and find all these people that gang raped? I mean, you know, we're not seeing any prosecutions. So you're seeing reports, you're seeing commissions, you're seeing, and you're going to see a lot more. It's not about the commissions, it's about the prosecutions. These women know their name, they know their face, and they see them every day. So out of this whole big scandal in Rotherham, how many prosecutions were made? How many? Literally, five. Out of this whole big deal, five of these thousands. So in other words, are you telling me five Muslims raped 1,200 girls? No. So it should be going back to the prosecutions going, okay, well, let's re-interview these women. They know their faces. They know they're in the same town. They know who they are. So, you know, that's what, you know, I think should be done. But like I said, kind of an outsider, but how can you only have five prosecutions in this whole town with 1,200 rape victims?
That's a good point.
I mean, it's got to be more than five Muslims doing this, you know. So they say I bet there's thousands of Muslims and taxi cab drivers, those shops. What do you call them, Jan? That takeaways. I mean,
yeah,
they're all
takeaways.
It's a syndicate. They're all.
On last night, Dave. If you can recall the lady on the radio last night who got on the phone, she said that. Even in the supermarkets within Rotherham, the women are being groped as they're shopping by Muslims.
No surprise. Really no surprise because they're getting bolder and bolder. But you know what? Why doesn't some guy come up and just punch him right in the face? Sorry. You know, I mean, we got to protect our own women too. I mean...
Because, Dave, if they they'll be charged with racially aggravated discrimination.
Oh, yeah.
On the spot.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
And
if a Muslim
Bigfoot
were to do
Bigfoot put
that.
A comment in the chat room a little while back in which he said that Muslims or Mohammedans, they can rape with impunity, but when a father stands up and defends his daughter, he's the one arrested.
Absolutely.
That's how
it
rolls.
Three times.
And yep. I'd like to comment really quickly and say why this isn't major news worldwide, or in at least in the Western world. There just has to be a lot of money going around covering this up. I mean, this should be a blockbuster story, you know, in both North America and Europe. And why it isn't is just it just is amazing to me. I'd love to have a tenth of the money right now that has to be spent helping to cover this up. Back
yeah,
to you guys.
Absolutely, Dan.
It actually did make headlines in Canada, and Sun Media and National Post, they both covered it.
Well, I'll tell you, Kel, I haven't seen anything about it in the larger American media. Nothing, which is friggin' disgusting.
ABC has been covering it, too.
Oh, have they? Okay, well, I hadn't seen that, but, you know, I haven't seen anything beyond that. You would think that organizations like The Blaze would cover it. You would think that Fox News would be covering it. This is a huge story. It's not just a back burner story. It's ongoing. It involves politicians. It involves women. We had a big thing here a few years ago during the last presidential election, war on women. It involves that. This you want to talk about a war on women? This is oh my God, almost a genocide of women that's going on, and the coverage on it is practically nil. And I'll turn it back to you guys.
I just want to let people know that Jeff Mitchell of EDL Radio is joining us right now. And Jeff, hello, how are you? And
good evening. Good evening, Kel. Good evening, Dave. And good evening, Tim and Jan and Davey and David.
Oi, oi, Jeff.
Good to be here.
Hi, Jeff.
It's good to be here. And Kel was sending me messages, and I was closing my eyes. I was listening to the show, but I called in. I just wanted to make some comments about what's been going on, what we see, this report. And it's right, you know, Jan, you know how many years that we've been backwards and forwards to Rotherham. Sometimes you feel like you're banging your head against the wall. And I think one of the first times that we ever went to Rotherham, they set the police dogs on us. Well,
yes,
you know, it was
right.
One of our angels was, she got pushed. Another angel got bitten by the dogs. They let the dogs off the leash, didn't they? Do you remember that?
Yep.
They
actually
set
the dogs
YouTube,
up into attack mode, yeah.
Yeah, and they stood there. Jan, you could to tell the listeners, wasn't it something like that you'd look back in, say, the 30s with the SS, with the batons race? Where
I likened it to Zorbibor during the Second World War, where the people were lined up to go into the gas chamber naked, and the SS was letting German shepherds loose on the victims.
Yes.
That's what came to mind that day, yep.
Yeah, that's it, Jan. That's more graphical. But I think you've expressed that so well. So, you know, the listeners out there, that is how it felt. And this has been one big cover-up. From the time we started, we knew this was going on all them years ago. We knew how big it was. We even said back then it's just the tip of the iceberg, didn't we? Do you remember, Jan, all that time?
Yes, do you know what I think? At that time, when I witnessed all that back in Rotherham, what year was it? Was it 2006, 7, something like that? And saw that for the first time. I mean, they tried that in Manchester as well. They had all the dogs out.
I think
but
it's 2011,
like,
I think, Jan. I think we're 11,
yep,
10 or 11.
Yeah, oh, could be, yeah.
Yeah.
We've been to Rotherham that many times, Jeff, you know?
I know.
What I like
into
that is...
I think it's three times we've been there now, isn't it? Three or four times, Jan,
it's like
just
the Indigenous...
but other groups as well.
Yeah.
Up, haven't they?
It's like the Indigenous people of England are being persecuted like the Jews were with the Nazis. That's how it felt that day. You know, that we were not belonging there, and that we were being victimised in our own country because we were protecting... Well, Muslims and Nazis, same difference, you know?
I know. Sorry, I just got to...
Just to let you know that I just got a message from... Sorry, Jeff. I just got a message from Daryl and Teresa Horn-Hooper. They're on their way to Rotherham. And, Jeff, they might try to call into your show today. Heard 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 8:30 p.m. British Summer Time, where
this will be
the comprehensive topic on EDL Radio with your host, Jeff Mitchell.
It certainly will.
But I do want to pass it back to Dave Paxton because he's got to run pretty soon, and I want to take full advantage of him being on the air with us.
Know.
So, Dave, please go ahead.
You know, I'll be listening. I can listen to the show afterwards. I just can't really. I gotta see. I work from home, and I gotta do ads for a company. So I gotta get back on. But anyway, about CDL, you know, we're hoping to make a few changes, and you know, I don't know. We might take a break for the radio show for a little while, and off. But we're I just want to tell you, we're not a chapter, you know, just to be official, we're not a chapter that's affiliated. A chapter is affiliated thing of the EDL. We are friendly with the EDL, but we're not affiliated. Mm. So I want to clear that up because some people that are affiliated, you know, chapters, Jeff knows this. It's a little different deal.
Yeah.
But I just want to clear that up. And you know what? I enjoyed the program, and thank you for letting me on. And Jan will be on for a little longer, and I'm going to listen to her. Bye, guys.
And
thank
you know
Dave.
What? I'm changing that now in the show notes for everybody. Dave, thank you so very, very much for being here. Tim, Dave, and myself, we appreciate the time that you've spent with us. So I'll put you on mute so that you can listen to the program. Thanks, Dave. Thank you so very much.
Y'all have a great day. Thank you for bringing me on.
We appreciate you, Dave.
Thank you.
Cheers, Greg.
Now, what I want to do is I want to ask, well, I guess I can call him Dave now. I guess Dave is on. But we do have a lot more stories to cover, and Dave is going to be covering a huge one in a moment. And usually I take my break right at the top of the hour, but we are maybe we'll take it a little earlier because I want Dave Milner to bring up his topic out of the United States. This is also a big one, so we're going to take that break just a little bit on the earlier side. And this is actually appropriate for the subject matter in which we have been discussing. The exploitation of children going on for so long is just unfathomable to all of us. This is for the children that were totally abused and the most horrific matter. We'll see everybody back here in 4 minutes. This is Heaven Coming Down by the Tea Party.
Thank you.
And we hope that these children that were so brutally sexually abused do find a sense of closure in their souls and that they're not scarred for life, whether that be physically or mentally. This is such a devastating topic. Jeff and myself will be discussing this much more comprehensively on the EDL radio show today at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 8:30 p.m. British Summertime. But just to remind you, you are listening to Islam Exposed, and we are welcoming the Christian Defense League, and that is Jan Redding and Dave Paxton. They're the proprietors and hosts at the Christian Defense League radio show and are prolific in their expertise in exposing the scourge called Islam. Jan heads the Christian Defense League chapter, Friends of the English Defense League. I think we got Jan back. Oh, thank goodness. Jan's call dropped, but we got her back. Yay! But I want to switch gears now because we are three different radio hosts from three different countries, but we have one common denominator, and that is our love of freedom and a planet rid of the scourge. So I am going to pass the mic to Dave Miller because he has quite a few interesting things going on in the United States. So, Dave, take it away.
All right, Kel. Well, just very short distance away from me, and you have the articles for this, is a little restaurant here in Burlington, Vermont, called Sneakers. And if everyone will look up, who is in the chat room will look up at the slides, they'll see a picture of a sign. Now, that sign was placed in a flower bed in what is pretty much a traffic nightmare that surrounds a big apartment building in this place that is just 2.2 miles away from me. Now, the significance of the sign is that this bistro put it up. Clever little advertisement, because everyone loves bacon. But one Islamic woman, one Muslim woman, posted to a local board and said that the word bacon offended her. And the restaurant quickly took the sign down, and that instituted pretty much a firestorm of comments and things along those lines. Now, what Sneakers has said, that's the name of the little bistro diner thing that used this as an advertisement. What they say is, well, we're in the business of serving breakfast and lunch, not politics. But what they don't understand is that their reaction, taking the sign down because one Islamic woman complained about this, and I'll put a rider on this and say she's an Islamic vegetarian. That's kind of a weird one, but this is Vermont. you might as well just call that "This Is How It Begins." They did this voluntarily. The city of Winooski, Vermont, did not ask them to do it. They did this all on their own. And this is the first stage of submission to Islam. What they should have done was what someone told an individual that complained about a page that Kel is running. All right, and that was basically they should have said, why should we worry about that? We're only offending one person, but they didn't. This is where Tim's diatribes about multiculturalism are come into force, and this is absolutely true. Sorry, Tim, don't mean to call them diatribes, but no. Listen, some diatribes are true. That's why they're operative.
Taken.
good. But no, this is absolutely it. If you want to find a center for multiculturalism in on the East Coast in the United States of America, it is Burlington, Vermont, and the towns that surround it. This is an extremely left-wing state. If we had sandy beaches, we'd be California. So this kind of dimitude can exist. Now, I'm very transfixed in a way about what is going on in Birmingham now, listening to stories related of close to 35 years of abuse of young women in Birmingham. And the politicians and the police in that area, and as Tim says, probably in other areas of the United Kingdom, turning their backs on the suffering of the people of the United Kingdom, and all for multiculturalism. And people might say, well, where does this start? Well, it starts with incidents just like the one that happened a few days ago. And Kel has something that we would like to play for this. Kel, whenever you're ready, take it away.
I've got it for you right here, Dave. And this is from the Vermont, New York, Burlington. This is...
That's from WPTZ in Burlington, Vermont. Go ahead, hon.
You've got it. Here we go, folks.
At the bottom of the Winooski Circle until Friday morning. It got there as part of Operation Bloom. It's a city program to keep its flower beds beautiful. If businesses do some gardening, they can post an advertisement where they do it. But the word bacon on the Sneakers Bistro sign started a discussion about diversity on the Winooski Front Porch Forum. It started with a post from one woman who wrote the sign was insensitive to those who do not consume pork. She said as a Muslim, she was personally offended by it. The owners of Sneakers, who did not appear on camera, say they're in the process of reaching out to the individual who made the post. They've also taken the sign down. They say they regret any harm caused by the sign, and their goal was never to cause stress or bad feelings.
It's nice that they're respectful enough to take it down, but I also think they maybe shouldn't have. I mean, they shouldn't have to, at any rate.
Other Winooski residents join the conversation, and online, too. One post reads, the word bacon is not offensive. It's something that describes food. Winooski's city manager spoke on behalf of the city. The cool part about living in a diverse community, she said, is that it's not always comfortable. It's a fascinating place with lots of opportunities for conversation. The city has to pay attention to a lot of factors while acting within what we can regulate. Others, too, recognize the complicated issue.
I mean, I respect her religion and her right to believe what she wants, but I'm pretty sure the First Amendment extends to bacon.
Sneakers owners say their goal is to provide a joyful place for the entire community. In Winooski, Hannah McDonald, WPTZ, News Channel 5.
And Dave, I want you to expand on that, and then I want to, we got Jan Rennie back, and just to let people know that my call was dropped, and... So thank goodness that Dave had the mic so that I could dial back into my own bloody show. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio, very much. But Dave, please address that, and then I want you and Jan to have a dialogue.
Okay. All right. Well, no problem. First of all, I have to say I love the one Winooski resident that they interviewed. I just love that he says that the First Amendment does extend to bacon, and it does. We don't have freedom of expression here in the United States of America. We have freedom of speech, which means that unless a speech is deemed harmful, in other words, using the classic example of yelling fire in a crowded movie theater or something of that nature, you can pretty much say what you want. And we've reached a stage now where we are prepared, or some people are prepared, to bend over backwards when anyone says they're offended. And everyone says almost now that they're offended by something. And this, of course, offends other people like me. So we're becoming the United States of the offended. But the problem here is that, as I said, this is where it begins. It begins with people who are ignorant of Islam and of what Islam does. And who give in when one person says they're offended. Now, I want people to remember that it was one woman's phone call. Tim can confirm or deny this, that got Paul Weston arrested originally when he read out of the book by William Shakespeare. Okay,
yeah.
So This kind of thing can happen by simply giving in to one person saying that they're offended. That's the start. The end is exactly what Jan and Dave were talking about. 30 to 35 years worth of abuse at Rotherham. It has to do with population density of Islamists, and it also has to do with how ignorant a population can be kept due to multiculturalism. You see here the entire spectrum of abuse, and I think it is a good snapshot of what is going on in the West today. And Jan, I'd like to get your thoughts on it, if that's possible.
Well, the first point I'd like to bring out, Dave, is this rubbish that she's a vegetarian. I think she's only stipulating she's a vegetarian in case her first little ploy fails. To look at a sign that says bacon outside of a restaurant and demand, you know, she did demand, because she got her way, that the bacon sign was removed. We in the West eat bacon. Now, over here in England, we have got the supermarkets. In densely populated Muslim areas, we have the girls on the tills in full burqas who refuse point blank to put through bacon, any pieces of pork. In some shops, they have to go to a separate till. Now, there can be six Muslim girls on seven tills, and one on the end that doesn't mind handling bacon, an indigenous girl or an indigenous man. You have to take your bacon and your spirits and drinks to that counter. Now, my point is, this will escalate in the USA. Of course it will. This is the start, like Dave has said. But the point being is this. Do not employ. Now, these supermarkets are not, you know, they're not owned by Muslims, these big multi-American stroke British ones. Why employ them? When they're interviewed, ask them if they are willing to serve pork and handle. They've got gloves on and they still refuse. They've got plastic gloves on and they still refuse to handle pork, bacon or wines and spirits because it's against Islam. Therefore, they shouldn't be in that type of work. They shouldn't be in any food industry. If that's going to offend them.
Well, no, you're quite right.
It's a point of power.
Right, right.
It's a point of power. Now, where's rights, Dave, when it comes to halal meat? Are we not offended? We haven't got a say in Great Britain. They promised to mark our food with halal certificates. They're not doing it. And the ones who are doing it, the labelling is so confusing with all these figures and letters that, and so many of them on the back of these products, you've got not a snowball's chance in hell of recognising what's halal. So what we have to do is we have to forget supermarkets for meat because that's all halal. And I'd like to point out, I don't know the name of the toxin that comes from the animals through sheer terror, but it's a toxin that's released into the animal's body because of fright, sheer terrorism. And it's a poison. And this is obviously going through the system. I don't really want to go into this halal business because I hate it. I can't even watch any of the videos. Where are our animal rights people? Where is the RSPCA on this? Our animals
Amen.
Are being tortured. And how long is it
yep.
until the prices that they are now demanding in the streets of the UK, the Pakistanis want their little showdown where they slice slowly cows and sheep and goats in the middle of our streets? Because their ideology likes to see blood flow down the streets and they trample barefoot in the blood of these animals that's jiggling around in agony. How long is it till we get that passed here? Because they've got everything else passed.
Well, the same thing, I will point out, Jan, the same thing goes on here in the States and in Canada. In Canada, and in fact, Kel has pointed this out, they used to mark certain things as halal, but they've stopped doing that now because they don't want the word getting out. Mike Holt of Restore Australia is doing a really great job of getting the word out about halal food in Australia, and they're very worried that their sales will plummet if people find out about this, so they just don't put the labels on anymore.
Exactly. And, you know,
Mike Holt
this money is going to terrorism.
For my, Mike Holt, yeah, this is a gentleman that people should heed his words in which he speaks about halal. Please visit RestoreAustralia.com and go to his site and get your halal stickers, anti-halal stickers, and also listen to Mike Holt Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, heard right here on Red Fox Blogger. This man has a lot to say. Dave, I'm glad you brought him up, but Mike also is a bit of an imp. He offered to send me halal stickers to use as pasties for my ice bucket challenge.
There you go. Now, that is the stuff. And I'll also tell people here in the States, there is a Ban Halal Food in the United States Facebook page if you want to become a member of that and get informed. It is a really good resource. So there is that. So Jen, now I wanted to ask you, you know, just a little bit farther. This is on the word of one person that this was done, and it was done voluntarily. How do you feel, or how do you guys in the CDL message towards multiculturalism? What is your thrust when that comes up, and you know how bad it is?
Well, you know, most of our people in there are against this multiculturalism. They're against an awful lot of things that's going on. We do have the left-wing faction that enter CDL. But they really, really want us to post more halal food, specifically the animals. But, you know, Dave would have to do that because I can't do these videos. I can't watch them, certainly. I've come across one or two, but no, the multiculturalism, they're not into it one bit. And, of course, CDL is kind of worldwide from everywhere. We get the people commenting there from the whole of Europe, United States, Canada, India, Pakistani Christians. We have a vast range. Anything to do with Islam they're against, anything to do with this multiculturalism. And, you know, people could have accepted multiculturalism had they been the same ilk as ourselves, had they conformed and lived like we do. It would have been a different matter. But with political correctness and demands, especially from the Islamic cult, they shut themselves in the foot.
Well, now
they really have shut themselves in the foot.
Now here in the States, multiculturalism, and I'm sure that Kel will confirm this is the same in Canada, was first applied when it came to people just based on color of skin. Going back to Dr. King's speech, judging a person by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin. And it's now being more, you know, being more metamorphosed into servicing Islam, and I just wanted to know if that's what happened in the United Kingdom, because what I'm looking for here is the progression, how it started and how it is today. So can you address that? I mean, did multiculturalism just used to be about skin color?
It used to be in the 50s, because we had our immigrants back in the 50s was the black people from the West Indies predominantly. And I can remember as a child that the adults were very very much like us. They adapted more. They were like us in a lot of ways. They might have eaten different, you know, different food, but they couldn't get it back here at that time. And we've never really had that kind of problem from them themselves. And it was addressed about multiculturalism as black people from the West Indies came, maybe a few from Nigeria, and not many, but a few from Africa, you know, and a couple of the Chinese. We had more Chinese. But then in the 60s, when the Islamists hit here in the droves, and then where the I'm going to say the word hatred because it's the truth. Where the hatred, David, started was this. When they started to dictate to us, not them, they might have done it quietly, our politicians started to dictate to us that, yes, they could have four wives, yes, they could get payments for these four wives, yes, they could have all this money for the children when they were born. And it was like, that was where the two-tier system started. That's where it began. Because they were Islamic, they could do this. We couldn't have it because it's not our way of life. So then the bitterness started to creep in. Then there was this was another major factor, which you'll probably, I don't know what your laws are like in the US, but we had very strict laws. Shops on a Sunday couldn't open and sell anything except newspapers, bread and milk. That was the law. Our shops had to close at 5-6 o'clock each evening. That again was the law. Muslims came here and opened up, you've probably heard the jokes about corner shops. Corner shops, which opened until 10 p.m. and all day Sunday until 10 p.m. Completely against Christian laws, which it was a Christian law in the UK about Sunday, what you could buy and what you couldn't buy back in the 60s. They could do just what the hell they wanted. They could sell anything. And they could be open all day Sunday and sell whatever, open till 10 o'clock. And the indigenous people of Britain, excuse me, saw this as a convenience. Oh, well, I'm going to say it, although it's against the law, the Paki shops. We've never known them as Pakistani shops. We've only ever known them as Paki shops. Paki shops are open till 10. We'll go there. If only they hadn't frequented these joints, they might have gone or just not stayed or didn't come here in the droves like they did. So our shopkeepers in the little shops like haberdasheries, the greengrocers, slowly over the years they went out of business because they had to still stick by our laws. So imagine that. Imagine a shopkeeper who had to close at 6 p.m. knowing that the shop next door, because they always open next door on a corner, were open till 10. On a Sunday they were there all day. You know, open, and this was a big problem here in the UK. But then it kind of went quiet a bit, and the demands got more and more and more, and still they're demanding. And so this multiculturalism switched from the West Indies, Nigerians, Ugandans coming here, which was just a few, into this drove of Islamic people coming here, demanding and doing just as they want. And that was the beginning of the resentment and the hatred. Of course, back then when the elders were here, they were all tiptoeing around the streets and not showing their true colours. Their third generation and the ones in the 40s, 50s, 60s were all rapists, all jihad rapists. And not one of us, this has been going on since probably the 60s and 70s, and we've never known. I know about the first few cases back in 81. If it's been covered up today, in 2014, it was covered up back in the 60s. They have never, ever done anything else, you know?
Exactly. Well, I think we do have somebody here that wants to speak with you.
I'm sorry, people. I'm the moderator here, and I'm just trying to interject. But, Jan, you have a very important person. Well, he's very important to me. He would love to speak with you. He's a fan of yours, and that is Jim from Boston. Jim from Boston joins me quite frequently on my Friday shows, and he's been listening quite intently to you, Jan, and he would love to have a word with you, and I would love to say hello to Jim. And, Jim, welcome to the program. It's great to hear your voice again. You're speaking with Jan Rennie of the Christian Defense League. Please, Jim, go right ahead.
Hi, Jan. How you doing? Yes, you know, it's like multiculturalism, the city I grew up in, it was either black or white, and then over the years, everything changed. Then the word diversity came about, a diverse neighborhood. Well, I forget who said it, but you take the first three letters of the word diversity, D-I-V, it could mean division. You want to divide the neighborhood. You want to divide your city. And this is what's happening today. Multiculturalism will be will help the downfall of Western civilization, because you can't go in here. It's just like there was a guy down south, I believe it was, or in the Midwest during the Ferguson's riot. He was told to stay out of the Waffle Houses there. You know, he wanted to get something to eat. He was set upon by a gang of blacks. I mean, this multiculturalism is not good. You can keep your culture. Like, you know, we have Dominican Day here. We have Puerto Rican Day Parade. We have Caribbean Day, Pride Day. You know, that's fine and dandy. But, you know, I mean, could I walk through there? I don't think I could. Not today. Not by today's standards of this multiculturalism. Let's all sit around the campfire and sing Kumbaya. It doesn't exist anymore.
First of all, Jim from Boston, hello, and thank you for calling into the show and speaking to me. Multiculturalism. Let's go over the point you made. How it's crept in from being black and white. Yes, it was black and white here. We didn't have a great many blacks. They were new to us in the 50s. Not so much in the USA, obviously. But they were new to us in the 50s. And it was black and white, as you say. Then this cult started moving in their thousands. And part of it was that they passed another law, when I'm going back to this law in the 60s about shopkeeping. They passed another law whereby a Muslim who came to this country could have all their relatives come over. Free, you know, kind of no checks, nothing, in you come.
Right, chain migration.
Yep. So what happened when, say, 20 relatives of one man's family came in? Of course, their families was also allowed in. And you're talking hundreds of thousands of people here that's all connected one way or another. But I think it was about, let me see when the smoking ban arrived in the UK. I think it was 2005, something like that. Could be 2006, but I think it was 2005, the smoking ban straight across Britain. You could not smoke in any public building. I got to Birmingham last night, put on the news to see what I could find out about Rotherham, and there it was, local news. Don't ask me what these places are called, where these Pakistanis have these places where people can meet. They can certain things, I'm sure. And like a pub, like a Muslim pub, if you like, without the alcohol. Allegedly.
Like a hookah shop.
Yeah. Well, they smoke in these huge pipes. And they're only just being confronted on this. Now, we're not allowed to smoke in pubs. We're not allowed to smoke in restaurants, which is rightfully so. We have to go outside in the street. They're now trying to stop us smoking in the street. But still now, from 2005 till now, 9 years, and they are still having their little outlets where they're all smoking, and no one will go in there. Police are not allowed in there.
Absolutely, Jan. You're so bang on.
Political correctness again.
And April Nikiam brought that up. She said that you can't smoke tobacco anywhere inside New York City or New York State, but Muzzies are allowed to open up their hookah shops. That is just insanity. And what they're doing in New York State as well, in New York City in particular. Yeah, they're opening up hot dog and burger carts. It's all halal compliant, but I just had to get that in because Iggy brought up so many good points in the chat room. I just wanted to share them with you. But Jan, please continue. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you figure they're gonna throw out the religious card too. Well, it's part of our religion.
Oh yeah.
Because people don't understand Islam and Sharia because it's filthy anyway. But they're going to throw that out as an excuse. Well, you're infringing upon my religious rights. I can smoke, but you, as a British citizen or an American citizen, Canadian citizen, that right has been taken away because you're not screaming religious persecution or discrimination. I mean, this is how they're doing it, you know. And as I said in the past with Kel, many many years ago when Pope John Paul was alive. He had a big meeting at the Vatican with all sorts of heads from different religions, faiths, what have you. And it was in the Boston Globe Sunday section, in the religious section. And this one imam told one of the top dogs at the Vatican, we will use your own freedoms against you. And that's what they're doing, because they will scream religious persecution, discrimination. So this is why over there these Pakis can do what they want, but you, me, and Kel, we can't.
Well, and there's and
this is
that's,
another point
that there, is an that is an in. That is an in, guys. Okay. This is what I keep saying. Now I know that people say, well, we'll be laughed out of the police station. But this is why I say, look, these laws are there. They scream religious persecution at the drop of a hat. It's time Christians began doing that. Sure, you'd get laughed out of the police station a few times, but if they're going to do this, we need to start doing this and using their own weapons against them.
That's it. You fight your enemy like he's fighting you, and they'll cave in. I mean, because this is getting
ridiculous. And, Jim, I would like to introduce you to, I don't know if you have spoken with Dave Milner in the past and Kim Burton in the past. But Dave Milner, he is the fellow host here at Islam Exposed, as is Tim Burton. So I would like to introduce you to both these fine gentlemen.
Dave, how you doing?
Hi, it's Tim here.
Tim.
Hi, how are you doing? Dave, you're there, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Jim, I've heard you a few times calling into Kel's shows. Always enjoy when you do, man. It's a pleasure to have you here. We always enjoy what you have to say. And, we've got, as you know, we've got Jan here from the Christian Defense League. She is helping Tim out, handling things from the UK side of it. And, you are always welcome to call in here because I've always enjoyed everything you have to say, man. I'm up in the People's Republic of Vermont, so not too far from you, my friend.
Okay, comrade.
I think I'm going to have to get you with Jim hooked up, so you guys would have quite the engaging conversations there, Dave. But it is an absolute honor, and the honor is all of ours in that Jan Rennie can join us and spend so much time with us. So what I'm going to do, I'm enjoying this so much, is that I'm going to further Jim and Jan's dialogue. So please, Jim, go ahead. And Jan, anything you want to respond to, please.
I would like to ask Jim the situation in Boston where you live there now, Jim.
Oh, okay.
What's the situation in Boston?
Well, right now,
us across in the UK don't know too much about. Well, we know about the US, but we don't know individual states like Boston.
Well,
the
Boston area.
Boston Marathon bombing.
Yeah, well, the Boston area.
All,
you know,
we all remember that, yes.
We don't have that much trouble with the Muzzies yet, but as a matter of fact, the surviving raghead during the Boston bombing, of course, it's made news. His sister has been arrested. You know, she's been arrested, and she allegedly threatened somebody else, and she said, I know people that will put a bomb on you. So now,
yes, I saw that, and she has a baby now, and her husband's dead, obviously, but where's the baby come from? Is it another Muslim child brought into this world by another
most
convert?
Most likely. You know, that's funny about converts here, and probably the same thing over there in Britain. When somebody converts to that cult, they become very violent and hateful, as you can see, because now two traitors were killed, actually three, have been killed over there in the Middle East. I don't know what gets in their minds. I mean, it's disgusting. But like I said, so far here in Boston, you know, we had the typical demonstrations, you know, in favor of the PLO, Hamas, and all that. Anti-Israel protest and everything. But so far, thank God, the true God, that we don't have the problems that Britain has, Norway, Sweden, and most of the rest of Europe has today with the Muzzies.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I totally agree. And as for these converts, Jim, I've always said this. One, they never had as much attention as children in their lives, or there's something. They're either goddamn ugly, never had proper upbringing, or they just crave for attention for the whole lives. The attention they're getting, and probably why you pointed out that they're the most violent, some of the most, is because they're on a test. The Islamic faith do not give a damn about converts. They're just another dhimmi.
Yep.
You have the dogs, then you have the women, and then you have the dhimmis. That's the order. That you have the converts. They don't care about them. They're just another tool to use against us.
Yeah, it's just like that one from Florida. It was like the one from Florida who went to Syria. They sent him off with a truckload of ammunition, and it blew up before he got there. I mean, they didn't give a hoot about him.
I saw a similar video to that where they were carrying ammunition, and it was in Syria, and he was going down the street, and one of their own blew him off. It just exploded, and I thought, well, there you go, you know.
One less we have to worry about.
Yep. The converts are sent out for a test, and if a convert is going to prove themselves to his friends and Allah, then of course he's going to be picked first. Go and do this, you know.
I saw something very interesting. You know how they take offense when you blaspheme Muhammad? Well, I saw it on Facebook, and it was very fascinating. I should have thought of this, you know, along with millions of others, you know, that, you know, this guy was talking about the difference between Jesus and Muhammad. Jesus healed the sick. What did Muhammad do? Nothing. Jesus healed the blind. What did Muhammad do? Nothing. Jesus healed the crippled. Muhammad, nothing. All Muhammad did was go out and kill. Christ was
risen
from...
He went out and killed, and he actually beheaded his own kind of women and then raped them in the blood while the heads was on the chest, etc. You know what I mean? That was Muhammad.
You know, and like I said, you know, Christ was risen from the dead. He was seen by over 500-plus people before his ascension. Muhammad, he's dead, and that's it. He's rotten in hell. So, I mean, you know...
I'll bring up a point here, Jim, if I may. When the EDL started here in 2009, Dave Paxton, the owner and creator of CDL, he used to try and put across, because our education in the UK kind of ceased, religious education kind of ceased years ago, because, one, Islamic children couldn't come to our schools because they had to be excluded from religious education. So because as the numbers grew, they decided to get rid of religious education and then it creeped in for them, you see. So we were kind of put on the back burner with our religious knowledge. We used to enjoy our lessons, and I think I was about 12 or 13 when they stopped them. So over these, I'm not going to say decades, I'm going to sound like I'm 90, but over a few years, you know, no education in school about, you know, no religious education for Christianity. So what I find in the UK, we either have the Christians, the born-again Christians, but we also have a great deal of people who say religion is the biggest problem in the world. That's what causes all wars. And you try and get around this, but you see, when the EDL started in 2009 and Dave was kind of involved right from the beginning, and try and educate some, he wasn't like a religious nutcase or anything, but he tried to compare it with, you know, history, the history of the Bible, revelations, and so people thought, oh, he's just like a religious crackpot.
I want to switch gears for just a quick second because there are so many topics going on. I'm ashamed to say, I really don't have anything coming out of Canada this week. Well, there's always something coming out of Canada, but there's nothing that is as dire and as what is going on in the United States at this moment, what is going on in the UK at this moment, especially in light of the Rotherham scandal. But we also cover international issues, and I was wondering if everybody would indulge me. I want to share something with you, and this is 1 minute long. I think you'll all enjoy it. This is not a hoax. This is actually a rooster, and this is how he is crying. You know, they do the cock-a-doodle-doo. We know what's going on in Israel with Hamas. We know what's going on over there right now. Israel is in the very fight for her life. Whenever there is an incoming from the Palestinians, I call them, you know how the sirens go off. Everybody knows to take cover. I had, I still have a friend, and he worked in Israel for a month, and I asked him, what was it like to be over there working? And I said, in light of the constant rockets raining down on them, he said that they are the most resilient people you could ever meet. He said that the sirens would go off, they would take cover, the sirens would come back on saying all clear, and they would just come out again, and they'd continue eating their lunch and, you know, in the cafes or shopping or doing this and that and the other thing. I'm totally switching gears here, and I'm kind of taking away from you a bit, Jan, but I know Jan is a staunch supporter of Israel, so I know that Jan would enjoy this as well. So, hey guys, take a listen to this. And remember, Israel lives this every single day. And what you hear in the background is not laughter, you know, from the person perhaps filming this. Those are just the other chickens in the coop yard. But I just wanted to share that with everybody. It is amazing, the resilience of the Israeli people. But I also want to ask Jan, what is going to happen next at Rotherham? Like I said, I've been getting texts from people off and on throughout the day that they're going there and that they're going to partake in the hunger strike or they're going to partake in a pork barbecue. This is a big deal, Jan. My goodness. Like, do you think this is once again, like, I thought 7-7 was going to be the tipping point for people waking up, but it doesn't appear to be the case. Do you think this will? And I am so grateful to Jan for her time and asking her this. Jan, do you think this will finally wake up the people in the United Kingdom? Did I lose Jan? It looks like I lost Jan. Oh, yes, Jan dropped and she dialed back in. So, Jan, could you hear what I said?
I heard the last part of your question. Would we wake up on another terrorist attack? Like 7-7?
I was saying if what happened in Rotherham would be finally, I thought 7-7 would be the catalyst to wake up the people in the
UK. I actually thought so too. And then I thought the next catalyst, which would be Lee Rigby. And what we got from Lee Rigby was an EDL demo in Newcastle where there was 7,000 people turned out. What happened with Lee Rigby was I think more people became more aware of what Islam was at that point. But then with the media and the talks from our own Prime Minister talking like a jelly bean that he is, this is not the Islamic faith, this is radicals. All that crap talk has numbed a few more down again. If another bomb went off in London, Birmingham, Manchester, I think the rage would last a few days and we would go back to being idiots again. And, oh, it was just another one of those things. What we... The difference here being, I think, Cal, you know, we just keep going back into another lulled... when we had Dr. Warner on Sunday and he meant, you know, we talked about this, the fear of Islam. It's like everyone's turning a blind eye to Islam because we don't want to address the system. Let somebody else do it. Oh, it's not going to happen. Let's live in denial and all that, you know. The only thing that is going to save us in the UK, and I have said it for a couple of years now, is a civil war. And probably the same in Europe too, because we are so far gone politically to the left-wing swing, because I was always a Tory voter, which is a conservative. I've been conservative all my life. Now, conservatism is not the conservatism I knew. They are all liberals. They've got in under the guise of being Tories right wing. They pretended to be that way inclined until they showed their true colours when they were established. Now we know our Prime Minister and all his cabinets lean to the left. We have not got a right-wing political party that can win an election next year. We'll have split votes across the country, of course, but we're going to still be in the same problem.
My guess is
we're going to have the worst of two evils back, which is the Labour Party. And where Mr. Blair will come into that in the future, I do not know, but that he will be a backroom boy even. But he will have strings being pulled.
We have
had problems since the 60s, but we have that. I'm not going to cuss on air, but we have that Tony Blair who he changed the law very, very sneakily before he left office, because the law as it stood was, yes, we abolished capital punishment. We did not abolish capital punishment for treason, which also includes if the Queen or anyone in the royal family was assassinated, they would be hung, including politicians. So after he left, that's when we found out he'd sneakily passed a law through that took about 3 months, whereas normal laws can go into the House of Lords and get passed. He done an Obama on us. You know, he signed with his pen and used his phone. But we're going to get back, I think, another coalition. What's on the cards right now is the Tories making deals with Farage and UKIP. Would it be any better than what we've got now, which is the Conservative Party, I'll use that term loosely, and the Liberal Democrats? No, it wouldn't. It would just be the same. But I've got a sneaky feeling the Labour Party will get back in, because we have still got these people that vote the same as the grandparents did, that for the workers, and their parents did. The Labour Party used to be for the workers. Now they are total Islamic. Have been for years. I don't know whether they're taking backhanders. I mean, I can't accuse Mr. Blair of taking backhanders. I'm just, you know, amazed that a former Prime Minister is now a billionaire. He's been getting his money from somewhere.
And we are down to our last. We're down to our last 13 minutes. I would like for you to make a date with me, baby, so that you can come back. But I would like to give the panel that has joined us this evening, which it has turned into. Jim, do you have a moment of 60 seconds that you would like to share with Jan before we move on to the fellow host?
No, not really. I think she summed it up, and what's going on in Britain, and then eventually it's going to happen here in the United States unless people get off the PC wagon and this multiculturalism and the diversity wagon and start standing up and grow a pair and have a spine against this evil.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But yep. That's it for me.
And, Jim, I want to thank you so very much for calling in. It is an absolute pleasure to hear from you. Jim usually joins me Friday evenings at the Red Fox Blogger at Herd 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Jim, I will be speaking with you.
Yes, it was lovely speaking to him. Thank you for calling in and speaking to CDL, Jim.
Well, you tell your fellow Brits over there that America, we're standing shoulder to shoulder with you against this evil tide of
Islam
and Sharia. You know, we got to stick together.
Of
if not, we'll perish. Okay, so take care,
exactly.
Everybody, and God bless.
God bless
bye-bye.
You,
God
Jim.
Bless.
Bye-bye.
And Tim, I'd like to give you a moment to give your salutations to Jan.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's good to speak to you again, Jan. I think you spoke very eloquently on the subject on the subject tonight, and I don't know that I can really add a great deal to it except to say that I agree with pretty much everything you said, we are likely to be in a difficult place this time next year when we're looking at the general elections in the UK. I'd like to think that the British public would all think the way that we do, and that they would vote get this bunch of charlatans out. But I think what's likely to happen is you may see a few defections to UKIP, they may come more from conservatives than from Labour, and the end result might be that we let Labour in by default. Now, for those of you across the pond in the United States and Canada, that has to be a bad thing. But unfortunately, I agree with Jan when she says that's a likely outcome. And if that happens, well, we'll just have to deal with it when it comes along. I'd like to say that if only everybody thought the way that we do, things might be different. But, of course, you can never underestimate the stupidity of the British electorate. And I hate to say that, being one of them myself. But, unfortunately, it's a case that's proved itself time and again. Rather than going to that, I'll hand the microphone back to Kel so she can wrap things up and say
goodnight
to you.
Can I just say, Kel, can I just say to you, we're so glad you're on the mend. We did think about you. I haven't actually spoken about your health tonight and wished you all the best. Speedy recovery to you. And I just ask you one point? When you came online tonight, you said, so the doctor says you can't do skydiving and you can't do all this.
Skydiving and parachuting.
Is there any diving? Is there any diving
and other
that you can do?
Dan?
Any diving? Is there any diving I can do?
Thinking about Cal.
Well,
he didn't say he couldn't do one particular dive.
Well, I do hope you're not referring to the kind of diving I think you are, Jan, because that's inappropriate on a family show.
Yeah, I don't think Tim will be able to blow the tanks for a few weeks yet.
Well, I think we'll have to move along. I do thank you for your good wishes and your prayers, and I also thank everybody else in the chat room and everybody else who I've spoken to over the past week or so for their good wishes and their prayers. Yeah, I've been told
it's
as long as I take it easy, everything should be fine. I'm looking
a
forward to
a little fright there, darling. A little fright, and now you can change your lifestyle to, you know, for the better.
Well, yes, indeed. But
too much wine, too much song, you know.
And I want to give Dave Milner, who has been he's always instrumental. Dave Milner has been a real rock for me in helping me out with the shows while Tim is recuperating. So, Dave, I'm going to give you your final thoughts with our very, very esteemed guest, Jan. So, Dave, go right ahead.
All right. Well, Jan, it's been a great pleasure to have you on. You and Dave say you're thinking about giving your show a hiatus, and if you do, please feel free to call back in anytime here. You would be more than welcome. You guys both seem like excellent patriots, and we'd love to have you. And please please pass on to all the patriots there in the Rotherham area that they have the hearts of people worldwide with them. This is a monstrous thing that's happened, and we will even though we might not be members of the EDL, we will never surrender to Islam. That is simply not going to happen. I want to thank you for coming on with us this evening, and I want to wish you and Dave all the best. Thank you very much. Everyone, please give a listen to The Unpleasant Blind Guy on Pundit Press, as well as Kel's great shows, and I will see you guys next week for another edition of Islam Exposed, and I am out. Thank you, Kel. Take it away, baby.
Thank you so much, Dave, and thank you for having us here, Cal.
You and Dave are welcome back. Yep, you and Dave, you're welcome back anytime. We want to thank you so very much. It's been a wonderful
pleasure.
Hours.
A great
Absolutely.
Show, Cal. Very interesting. And thank you all for having us. Bye-bye, people.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Bye, sweetie. And ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Islam Exposed with three fellow hosts. That is Tim Burton, Dave Milner, and I am Kel Fritzy. Our guests today were Jan Rennie and Dave Paxton of the Christian Defense League radio show. They are also proprietors of the Christian Defense League chapter. They're friends of the English Defense League. I just want to give you some programming notes. We have quite a few shows going on here at Red Fox Blogger. On Monday, of course, you have Tim and myself at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Now we have a brand new show Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and that is Vlad Tepes, and he speaks about Islamic issues. On Wednesday, you have the Mike Holt Show of Restore Australia. That is 4 p.m. Eastern Time. On Thursday, of course, you have us back here. We are Islam Exposed. And on Friday, I fly solo at the Red Fox Blogger at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. On Saturday and Sunday, I manage to eat and get some sleep. Okay, I'm just kidding. But we really do want to thank you all for joining us. It has been a wonderful, wonderful program. A12, Iggy Mom, Bigfoot, English Defense League, our very Jeff, who called in as well, Lucha Dora, who you can hear on the radio Jihad Network Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Time with Eliza Jane, Paul Alexander, who has been sending in all these wonderful links for us, and people that have popped in, people that have popped out, and people that, of course, will listen in archive. I want to thank you all. Tim wants to thank you all. Dave wants to thank you all. People, have a great week. We will see you back here in this time slot next Thursday. And good night, Tim, and good night, Dave.
Yeah, good night, Kel. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Kel. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Oh, and don't forget, it's massive calamity. Stop the insanity.
They shout it in your face.